we are really honored to have as part of our live show on Latino USA and on Soundcheck, members of the Labyrinth Theater Company with us.
You think of some of the Labyrinth productions, like Jack Goes Boating with the late, great Philip Seymour Hoffman, and The Little Flower of East Orange with Elaine Stritch, and the Mother... I can't say this one on the radio. Let's call it The Mother with the Hat, which featured Chris Rock and Bobby Cannavale. And their current production, which is up through July 19th, is called The Muscles in Our Toes.
So what you may not know about the Labyrinth Theater Company is that it was actually started by a few Latinos that said that they wanted to prove something. We're going to hear more about that. But since their founding, they've now become one of the most diverse theater companies that you can really find anywhere.
So let's welcome to the Green Space stage founding member Paola Pizzi and Kusi Kram, whose production called Radiance was recently done by the Labyrinth Theater. And please welcome them to the stage here at the Green Space.
Paola and Kusi. So listen, this is wonderful to have you both on stage. I'm really honored because, you know, the other truth is that I came to New York to be an actress. And then someone killed my dream.
There's always time.
Why are you looking at me when you say that?
It wasn't you, John. It wasn't you. So, Paola, tell us about the origins of Labyrinth Theater.
Okay. Do we have all night? No. Let's go back to the early 90s. Big controversy, Death and the Maiden was on Broadway with Latino characters that for once were not prostitutes, maids, and drug dealers.
And it was written by Ariel Dorfman, who is an amazing Chilean playwright and author.
He was actually born in Argentina and then moved to Chile, and then moved to America. So Argentinian-born Chilean American playwright and wonderful playwright. And there were no Latino actors in the cast. So there was a huge controversy because, hello, and someone was quoted as saying, and I can't remember who, or maybe I just don't want to say who.
It was a well-known casting director,
I'm not sure, but like we'll leave it there, that they didn't know where the good Latino actors were in New York.
I'm sorry, what year was this now?
1992 or 91.
You see, they hadn't arrived in New York yet, the Latinos.
We were there.
Yeah. Oh, you were the first then, 1992. I'm being facetious, of course.
Of course. And the timing was right. They had a space available thanks to the generosity of Max Ferra, who was at that time the artistic director of Inter. And it was this little black box on 53rd Street next to the tracks. And it was like sometimes you would see the occasional New York City rat that would come and say, pap, 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 hello, you know. And we had that space. And they decided to respond to that person that said... that they didn't know where the good Latino actors were in New York, and they said, we'll show them. And what we did was we got together every Wednesday, I believe it was, at 6 o'clock after our various, you know, waiting on tables, jobs, auditions, this, that, typical actors' life in New York City, and we would just jam. And by jam, I mean just have fun and play. And their idea, our founder's idea, was to provide a safe place where we could... explore our reality and our experience as Latinos in the city, in New York. We did have like the three token white guys, the uber talented Sam Rockwell, David Deblinger, and Chris McGarry in our troupe. But then we realized that we were not being inclusive, and we were doing actually what we were criticizing other people that they were doing. So we decided to open the gates.
You mean you were... felt like you had white folks.
Yeah, but we were all Latinos. So we were like, you know, Sorry, John, again. Anyway, so we decided to open it up and be more inclusive. And then, like you said once, right, you looked around the room and it felt like...
Well, it's sort of like one of the few theater companies where you go to a company meeting, and it looks like a subway car, or it looks like an AA meeting, or, you know, anywhere... And I didn't say that.
We know nothing about that.
Yeah, but it looks like the city. You know, it reflects the city that we live in, and in a way that is oddly not so present in a lot of the companies in New York.
So do you consider yourselves Latino actors, playwrights? Or are you playwrights, actors who happen to be Latino, or...
That's a great question.
Paula.
I want to say that I consider myself an actress, director, new playwright, without attaching anything to it. But my Latino-es sneaks in, you know. I just can't leave it behind. I don't want to, really, you know. Yeah. And again, I think I've been in this country for a long time, and I love this country. But I will always be Argentinian in a way, you know.
I feel sort of similarly to Paula. I think you want to always be careful as an artist to be too narrow in mm-hmm. your view of who you are. But sometimes I want to write plays with Latino characters and explore that. And sometimes I want to, you know, write plays about white men. Yeah. Yet again.
I'm feeling very outsider here. I kind of like it.
Welcome to the club. Yeah.
The future.
Join Labyrinth.
Yeah.
Are you guys feeling really optimistic about life in the theater, though? I mean, is it something that, you know, for me as a journalist, there are many people who are like, oh my God, there's, you know, the future of journalism. We don't know. We're not. Why would anybody study that? You know, there's this kind of a drama around the future of journalism, which I see as a real opportunity. How's the feeling in terms of the theater? Is this a moment of great growth, or?
I think surprisingly, I am feeling optimistic. I think the statistics of the Broadway plays this year and the attendance, it was incredibly hopeful. I was so happy to hear that. I can't quote the numbers, but I remember going, wow, this is good. You know, in an era where like everything is at the touch of a finger and everything is instant gratification, to have people go and see a play, I mean, it's incredible to me that it's still happening. And thank you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, thank you for going. It's true.
Because let's face it, there's nothing like this, right? There's nothing like that.
It's much, yeah.
There's nothing like great. The faux pas we make on stage and then we have to fix them, you know? There's nothing as exhilarating as that.
Well, also, haven't people been saying theater is dying for, like, hundreds of years?
Yeah.
You know, radio came around in the 1920s and by the 1940s, radio is dead, you know? Yeah. Movies are killing it. TV is killing it. VCRs are killing it.
Well, there's something exciting, too, about that being in something that's the dying thing. You know, you have to fight for it. You know, you're like, I'm not going to let it die. You know?
That is the Latina
that's
in you.
Yeah. Totally. Which is the idiot.
No me muero. No.
Nunca, por favor.
No, jamás. I don't know. I feel like we're doing a little bit of a soap opera right now.
Yes, indeed.
Yo creo que somos re dramáticos.
Tú crees super dramáticos.
Ay, sí.
Oh, mi amor.
My dream is coming true. I'm an actress. This is so exciting for me in particular to have these women who are part of an incredible part of the theater tradition, not only in New York City, but in our country. It has really been an honor. And thank you so much for being so persistent in the arts and in finding your voice and in giving that space for others to find their voice as actors. So thank you so much for what you do at Labyrinth.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much. Such a pleasure.
Chrissy Cram, Paola Pizzi from the Labyrinth Theatre Company. The Muscles in Our Toes is their current production. It is running not far from here in the green space at the Bank Street Theatre through July 19th. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Muchas gracias.